Strategic Homeland Intervention, Enforcement, and Logistics Divisions.
Welcome to Level 7.
Welcome, everyone, to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hiya, Pete.
Hey, it's been a while, everybody. How you doing?
Great to be back. Great to be just kind of, you know, we want to be doing once or twice a month a little bit of a, you know, catch me up with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. audience out there. And Pete, we have some goodies to talk through. Definitely going to be a shorter podcast, but we have some points to hit. And what's first up on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek?
Well, the very first thing we're going to take a look at today are the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ratings for the finale.
Yes, that's right. Those were that was a 2.0 rating, which is where it's been, you know, since about March. That's 5.45 million viewers who watched it live. I think it was on the Hollywood Reporter. I saw that the show is basically up 30% with time shifting. That's your DVR and your on demand. And I guess the question is, Pete, is that going to, you know, is the change in time slot for next year, Tuesdays at 9? With a little bit less competition and whatnot. Obviously, their goal is to bring more eyeballs to the show watching live. Do you think it'll work?
I do. We got the tiniest taste of it with the Providence episode that pushed forward into that 9 o'clock time slot. They get out of the way of a juggernaut in NCIS on CBS. And I think it will definitely lead to an increase in ratings. Got to keep them around, though. You can get them there. Got to keep them around. And we know that season two, you know, the game gets upped.
It absolutely does. And in terms of the realities of network TV, there is huge pressure on a second season. I know that TV by the Numbers had crunched the numbers about TV. Go figure. And they had observed that the renewal rate from season three to season four for most network shows, it's something like 95%. And that's because once you hit season four with about 20 to 22 episodes, you know, which is to say times four, when you get to the neighborhood of about 100 episodes, now that's where you can sell it to syndication, reruns on cable, etc. So if you have a show that's kind of on the bubble a little bit in terms of the ratings, let's say New Girl, you know, not doing too hot. You can make an argument. All we need to do for a season four is to just break even, because when we hit that the end of that fourth season, then we cash out big time. What does that mean? Season three renewal is basically a season four renewal. What does that mean for season two? Gotta bring it, because they're basically weighing, you know, next April 2015. Do we want to do 44 more episodes of this, or do we just say, time to stop. We had a good run. It's not going to be worth it to do 44 over the next two seasons. So big pressure on season two.
Two things. One, there's a little bit of a caveat, and TV by the Numbers, not going to begin to argue with them because they're so good at what they do. However, you know, in TV lore, there is a little bit of a caveat on the 100 episodes. That's not a hard number needed anymore to get to syndication. The other thing to consider is this is Marvel. This is Disney we're talking about. They want to run this thing again, wherever they want to run it on one of their many networks, they're going to do it. So, you know, those rules aren't as hard and fast for this show as they might be for others.
I certainly didn't mean to suggest that at the 99th episode, it's now a complete failure, but the 100th episode makes it. But that just being a ballpark number. But Pete, I definitely agree with you that, as we all know, we are in the middle of this massive shift in broadcast TV. And, you know, you're absolutely right that whether, let's say it's not going to continue on ABC for season three, that's not to say that some Disney channel, not the Disney channel, but a Disney-owned cable channel might do it, Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, quick look at next year's broadcast TV schedule here in these United States. ABC will obviously have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as another show at that time slot that we'll talk about in a moment. Those will be up against the new NCIS New Orleans. So kind of good news, bad news there. Good news is it's a new show. Bad news is it's on after NCIS, and then you'd think that the NCIS audience would hold it, but at least it's new competition. It'll be up against Supernatural and the CW, which I think is, you know, by and large, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. and Supernatural can go to their separate corners and not really fight. Also opposite New Girl and Mindy Project on Fox, which I dare say is, you know, not a ton of competition. And then on NBC, the new show Marry Me, and the it got a renewed question mark about a boy. So definitely, I mean, look, that beats going up against NCIS and The Voice. So it's already in a better position.
Definitely.
Even if it's just the mighty NCIS New Orleans, you know, they're in a position to just have one of those, not also be up against, you know, the juggernaut of The Voice. So, Pete, some good stuff on the horizon there for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Indeed.
Moving on to discuss Agent Carter. Since we last all spoke, it's been announced that Agent Carter will run a rather short 8 episodes, but it will be one continuous storyline, which I think is, frankly, I'll take 8 episodes in a continuous storyline versus 10 or 12 that are just, you know, bad guy of the week. Pete, how do you feel about a pretty short run there for the old AC?
I thought it would have been a little longer, that it's only 8 episodes encourages me actually a little bit more that they have a defined in and exit from S.H.I.E.L.D. Remember, it's going to run between blocks of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, you're hearing it from Spoiler Pete here first. It's going to be connected to Avengers Age of Ultron.
Agent Carter will?
Yes.
Even with that big time difference?
There is a scene, Matt, in Avengers Age of Ultron that takes place in the 40s. So,
oh, man.
There you go.
Pete, I see here on the Wikipedia, but footnoted that, footnoted to Marvel.com, no less, that it's been confirmed that, Agent Carter will, yes, I'm just making sure I'm reading this correctly, that it will, air in January 2015. So Pete, let's play a little game called, Pete Network Executive. When do you air the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the second half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., knowing that Agent Carter starts sometime in January?
Well, we know that S.H.I.E.L.D. will start in September. And I think that you take it into... Do you go into the middle of November and stop and then get, you know, an 8 straight weeks of Agent Carter? I don't know. There's these things called the holidays. It's kind of a tough way to go. They're going to have to run Agent Carter with a little bit of a break, I'm thinking.
Here's my take. And I'm actually, I've double checked on that Marvel article there that Agent Carter does indeed start in January. Here's my take, and now the exact weeks might not line up. I don't have a calendar in front of me. You know, I don't know if there's 5 Tuesdays in January, that kind of thing. Here's my guess. My guess is that we go second half of September, like third week in September, S.H.I.E.L.D. starts, runs 10 straight weeks through the end of November. Then they just turn that time slot over to, you know, Christmas specials, holiday stuff, etc. With the thought of, let's build up 6 episodes before November. November sweeps come. We'll hit it hard. Maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. even goes as far as just simply doing a season 2.0 storyline, self-contained with some sort of, obviously, you know, like, you know, the fight continues for the remainder of the season, but by and large, a self-contained story. Then go away for the holidays, come back in January, come back early in January, do 8 episodes in a row to get you to, January, February, and then do another 10 episodes, maybe January, February, a little spilling into March, and then you just go 10 episodes consecutive second half of March, all of April, toward the end of May. That way you get the second half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. during the sweeps period as well. My bet is, and I said this on the last podcast, that part of this is a money-saving thing. They recognize that we as viewers want to get these consecutive episodes, but they don't think that, reasonably, no show can do 30 hours. So I think my bet is that they're going to cut back the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. order to 20 episodes. You give Agent Carter the 8, but actually now you're just producing 6 more hours of television between the two. And that's kind of, that's my guess on how they're going to do it. That it's just going to be these nice, big, big but not too big chunks. And if nothing else, if the audience isn't going to grow, it'll just move that 2.0, that 2.2 rating along week after week after week for close to 30 weeks.
I'm not sold on the idea only because, we're dealing with, again, Marvel, Disney, whatever, they do what they want. They have the purse strings. I get the money-saving maneuver, but we're also talking about building towards the second most anticipated movie of next year in Avengers Age of Ultron. It's going to be a situation completely analogous to this year with Captain America, where they will go right into that movie, and the following week, which will be during sweeps, they will have the fallout on your small screen. And, if the ratings and this show this year got that much better because of the participation of Captain America, and I think we can all agree that it did, and it was unprecedented in terms of the connections, it's only going to be that much better next year. So, yeah, I mean, there was a time this season, Matt, you and I, we're in February and we get one new episode where, a lot of other shows are in sweeps for 3-4 consecutive weeks. I didn't hear any complaining about that in April or May.
Yeah, it just strikes me as so strange that the network needed to learn that lesson the hard way. People want to watch stuff consecutively. The network of Lost that did this exact same, let's be creative with our scheduling and our production, how we produce, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, I'll take it. Pete, on the topic of Agent Carter, I guess we can officially announce now that we indeed will be not only podcasting the show, but it's going to follow a similar format to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. We'll be doing it night of. It will be on a different podcast feed, however. We're obviously months and months and months away from that, so do stay tuned for subscription info, the Twitter feed, fantasticgeek.com, etc. Links to iTunes. We're putting that together.
As if there was ever a doubt.
Indeed. Pete, what's next in the old list here?
Well, Matt, for all the successes we're talking about here within the Marvel Cinematic and now small screen universe, one of the hallmarks of our show is that we shoot it down the middle. We're going to give praise when it's deserved. We're going to give criticism when it's earned. And, we're not going to gloss over the bad stuff. And to this point, there really not been any of the bad stuff to point out. But Marvel is finding itself within the last week facing a crucial test with a couple of defections from some coming properties. First up,
were they Hydra?
They may be. I don't know. We don't often know who's Hydra and who's not. We don't have a handshake or anything like that at the meetings. But first up, Edgar Wright, who was the architect behind Ant-Man to this point. The lesser known but really gathering steam property that's coming after Avengers Age of Ultron next summer, has left that project. He was the guy behind the brilliant, if you've not seen it, San Diego Comic-Con footage that really sold people on the idea of a superhero who could make himself small and big again, which really doesn't sound like superpowers. But you watch that clip and you're like, yeah, okay, give me that. within the universe that Iron Man and Thor and Captain America take place in. And I buy it. And the casting had been really smart with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas. And that director has up and left that project. And Matt, what happened with another project?
Yes, just in the last couple of days, it was announced that the Daredevil show that will end up on Netflix as part of the Defenders package, that the showrunner has been replaced. And per Marvel.com, it says that Stephen S. DeKnight of Spartacus, Buffy, and Angel fame has joined Marvel's Daredevil as executive producer and showrunner on the all-new 13-episode series. It adds that Drew Goddard, who was the old showrunner, who also wrote the first two episodes, will continue to serve as executive producer on Marvel's Daredevil as he writes and preps Sony's Amazing Spider-Man film, The Sinister Six, which, boy, can't wait to see a movie that's just about bad guys.
Yawn.
Yeah. But, I mean, Pete, what do you make of it that in a week you had two really talented people leave properties that they had been shepherding? I mean, obviously, Goddard had been with Daredevil a lot less time than Edgar Wright has been with Ant-Man, but these were both their babies. Now papas are gone.
Two thoughts. First, the loss of a director for a movie that is a little more than a year away is a big deal. And somebody that, you know, was so instrumental in that movie even getting made in the first place. It's one thing, Matt, if, you know, my studio has a plan for a movie and we need a director and we sign you and you do it and then you leave over creative differences. It's a whole other thing when you have this movie that you're pushing through our system and you up and leave. We know, my other thought here, we know that Marvel likes to play the hardball a little bit, which is surprising given the purse strings that they have. You know, they changed from Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle in the Rhodey role for Iron Man 2. A lot of people would argue for the better, but still, it is what it is. It's kind of worrisome that we're in this situation. I mean, again, the TV show, which will probably be a next summer joint in Daredevil, you know, they'll recover for that. But I got to think that, you know, Ant-Man just about ready to go into production. I got to wonder if we may see a delay.
I do wonder that. And I know that there was much kind of foretelling of doom on Pixar, I'm ruining where I'm headed next here, on the Twitter. And then there were also a bunch of other people who were like, I'm such an Edgar Wright fan, now I won't go see Ant-Man. It was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, come on, you're a fan of a director, you're not going to see, right. You know, I'm going to call shenanigans on that right away.
But Pete, speaking of Pixar, are you familiar with the short Jerry's Game where the guy is playing chess with himself?
I know Jerry's Kids a little bit more, thank you to the telethon that always takes place around Labor Day. But do tell.
Well, Jerry's Game, you've probably seen clips from it. It's like, you know, an old guy who's, you're not clear who he's playing chess with, or is it two twins? And it turns out that this guy, it's a short, it's an animated short, and he's playing chess with himself. In 1997, that won the Oscar for Best Animated Short. It was directed by Jan Pinkava. Jan, in 2000, started work as the director on Ratatouille. In 2005, 2 years before it came out, and obviously an animation production schedule is a bit longer, he was fired. And Brad Bird took over, brought the puppy home. Brad Bird ends up winning the sole Oscar for it as the director. Pinkava directed, credited as the co-director or something. And shortly after that, Pinkava left the company and has not done much since. My point is this. This is a really talented guy who had an idea for a feature movie and took it from a twinkle in his eye to, I don't know, I don't want to go too much here in the birth metaphor, but like to quite a long way in the studio's tummy.
Is that how babies are made? You get a twinkle in your eye and then a baby shows up?
just about. But here's the difference. This director was fired pretty, you know, pretty close to when it was the movie was going to come out. Again, 2 years, slightly longer production schedule for animation. And it turned out great. I don't think anybody would say, ah, if only Jan Pekava's original vision was more clear in Ratatouille. So I will just say, hey, let's just stand down from Red Alert, both sides here, and just say, you know what? They made a change. This isn't like they're 3 weeks in and he's like, I just can't handle this anymore. I mean, it'll be, I don't want to say, you know, oh, all these directors that Marvel hires, you know, who cares? It's only, you know, Kenneth Branagh and it's only, you know, this, that, the other. But bottom line is we're far enough out that it'll be okay. It's going to be okay, everyone. Now, Pete, let's move on from Jan Pekava, who's Czech, to let's move on to the polls, which is to say some of the polls that have been on FantasticGeek.com. Pete, do you want to start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 or Ward, Guilty or Not?
You know what? When we compare polls, Matt, you know, it's all the same.
Pete, these all these polls, of course, were conducted on FantasticGeek.com. That's fantastic with a PH. For this Ward poll, there were six questions. I'm not going to read them all word for word. Three were, is Ward part of Hydra and dead and off the show, alive and off the show, but alive and everything's okay. He's still part of the team. He's still on the show. The other three were, he's going to end up being not part of Hydra and then alive and off the team slash show. Not part of Hydra, alive, but still part of the team and show. And then last of all, not part of Hydra, dead, and the actor has been dismissed. So, Pete, what was your call way back when? What will Ward's fate be?
Again, when, you know, you see things ahead of time like I do, you're always right. And, you know, I have to do this little dance with the audience where I will play coy, like I don't know what's coming, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So we knew that Ward will be brought back to the fold. Okay. He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. jail right now, whatever that even means, with S.H.I.E.L.D. being brought to its knees by Hydra in the, you know, final third of the season. So he's going to do his penance. And before we see an Agent Carter episode next year, he will be a full-fledged trusted member of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Well, Pete, do some math here. The second most popular answer was what you are saying. Part of Hydra, alive, but still on the team and or show. However, while that was the second most popular answer, 70% of people did not choose that. That was slightly over 30%, 30.4% of people correctly called it. The biggest answer, by and large, almost 50%, were people who said, he's not part of Hydra, he's still on the team, he's still on the show, I don't believe he's a bad guy. They were wrong. So some really interesting responses there. A couple people had written in as well, brainwashed by Hydra. Somebody else said brainwashed. Last minute redemption. So none of those happened. It really was just a rare 30% who correctly called Ward's fate by the end of the season.
There you go.
A second poll that we put up, the question was, will Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 be on at the same day/time? This one a little bit more clear cut in that one of the choices, Netflix. Nobody said. Pete, basically 50% of people, exactly 50%, said the show will be on Tuesdays at 8, no change. Another 40% said Tuesdays at 9. And then we had a couple other people saying another day at 8. So again, this time the majority also not picking exactly correct, but 90% of people said it'll stay on Tuesdays. And good on ya, one and all.
Good try.
With that, Pete, let's move on to our last segment here.
Well, Matt, we don't just do the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. That is but one of the many family of podcasts for Fantastic Geek. We also have the Fantastic Enough Pop Culture podcast, and we have a lot of plans now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is not taking up the majority of our time this summer.
We sure do. We'll look ahead. I think we'll just look ahead to June. We have some other goodies ahead, but hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, we'll be back talking to you again in a couple weeks, so we can update you as to what the picture is for the rest of the summer. In June, Pete, first up in the beginning of the month, not that far away, we're going to be going to the movies. What movie are we going to see?
We're going to stay with the motif here with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to be checking out actor, writer, director Clark Gregg's most recent film in his project for some time, Trust Me.
Hey, I've heard of Clark Gregg. He was on that podcast I listened to.
Yes, that was ours.
Oh, right. But yeah, really looking forward to seeing Trust Me. I believe it hits theaters June 6th. It's on your digital download places right now. I know, Pete, just in the last, was it maybe on Friday, they had their official world premiere at
Grauman's Chinese Theater. Yep.
I don't think it was Grauman's Chinese. I think it was Grauman's Egyptian Theater, which is a bit down the road.
There's two?
There used to be three there on the old boulevard. The third one, I can't remember. This was a time, Pete, when the movie house would be themed and whatnot.
I had seen Egyptian, and I wondered, all right, was there a corner of the Grauman's Chinese one that had a different flavor? I had no idea there were two.
So at any rate, Pete, definitely looking forward to seeing that movie. It's gotten some great reviews, really looking forward to talking about it on the Pop Culture Podcast.
Definitely worth the rewatch.
And then a little bit later in June, we're going to be going to Special Edition NYC, which is a comic book focused convention put on by those folks from who do New York Comic Con, Read Pop. We'll be there June 14th, Saturday, June 14th. So if you're in the New York area and you're headed down that way, headed down to the Javits Center, swing on by and say hello.
Yes, they did not think they could cram all of it into New York Comic Con proper in October. It's going to run October 9th through the 12th this year, and we will also be in attendance of that. So this is a new experiment, and we're looking forward to really what will be the first time they've done this. You know, they're going to have some familiar faces, and then they're really putting an emphasis on a lot of authors. The author of The Fault in Our Stars is going to be a big draw right after that movie is dropped, and should be an interesting time the first time around.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. It's obviously they're intending it to be smaller scale, a little bit more intimate, not the big giant floor, convention floor and all that. So should be a nice time, kind of, especially not kind of being constantly jostled by 100,000 people.
Definitely.
Well, Pete, I guess that's it for this podcast. People are probably, maybe some new listeners have come along and they're saying, this Pete guy, how can I get in touch with him?
Well, 3,444 followers can't be wrong. You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R.
On Twitter, I am personally Looking Back Lost. You can also tweet at the podcast, where we are Fantastic Geek. That's fantastic with a P-H. You can send an email to fantasticgeek@gmail.com and leave a comment on the webpage, fantasticgeek.com. So that, Pete, we will, encourage people one more time, head on over to the Pop Culture Podcast feed. There's links on the webpage. Subscribe there. That's where a lot of our, shenanigans, like talking about Trust Me and the Special Edition NYC and all that, that's where a lot of that will be going on, a lot of the great stuff we have planned for the summer. And otherwise, I guess we'll be back on the... back on this S.H.I.E.L.D. feed, talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff in a couple weeks.
See you then.
Bye-bye.